Welcome back to another week at the Damage Report. I'm John Iadarola. Hey, Brooke's here.
Hi, hey, I'm here. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited. We are, we're back. It's Monday. Mm-hmm. It's us. I don't know. I don't have anything else. Sorry.
No, you know, well, you just start, it's like, okay, because I do.
You have a lot. Okay,
you know what I have? I have like a bunch of stuff. We've got so much stuff. It's gonna be a weird show. We don't have any guests today. I mean, we have you, which is awesome. Best guest of all.
But I feel like there have been other days where there is no guest.
No. No guest?
No. It's been a while.
It's been a very long time, but it's okay. You know why? Because we have so much news to cover. I mean, not only do we have an update on whether there's going to be any sort of gun control in the near future, we've got Donald Trump continuing his war on Fox News. No media can be deferential enough for our president. We've got a discussion about whether or not there's going to be a recession.
Yeah.
Economists say one thing, Trump says another. We're going to weigh the evidence. Mm-hmm. And his views. Mm. And let's see, progress on the Eric Garner situation. Something approaching justice, perhaps? We're gonna get to that a little bit later on. And we're gonna be closing out the show with an analysis of Bernie Sanders' criminal justice plan, which he launched over the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of details there. We'll see, is it good, bad? Maybe we'll give it a letter grade.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah,
okay, we'll grade it at the end. But so much to get to, so
no,
why don't
we- No, we're not gonna grade it, that's too much.
Okay, thumbs up?
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna give it a certain number of koalas.
I don't know.
We'll come
down.
Up with some sort of rating scheme.
Uh-huh.
And but before we get to that, we're going to talk about gun control. So why don't we launch into that? Not long ago, we of course had the two tragic terror attacks in El Paso and Dayton. And in the wake of that, there was an idea that maybe now Donald Trump would take gun control seriously. And so you saw headlines like this: Trump claims great appetite for background checks as GOP looks elsewhere. Which is at least being honest about what the GOP thinks about things like background checks. You had Trump claims GOP support for gun background checks despite lack of evidence. Again, sort of questioning, but it's questioning the GOP, not Trump. It's sort of implying that, hey, maybe Trump, you know? He's a different sort of guy. We had this one, Trump's openness to extensive background checks for gun buys draws warning from NRA. So again, it's like, no, Donald Trump is a different sort of politician. He's not one of these dogmatic Republicans that bows down to what Wayne LaPierre wants. But they did at least mention there that there was the warning. And here's the thing, if you've been paying attention over the past couple of years, you know that we've been through this cycle before. Back when Donald Trump was a candidate in the wake of terror attacks as president, the idea always is maybe he's different. Maybe he's the one who's gonna do things a little bit differently. And that is why I watched very eagerly this morning as he was asked to clarify his current views on background checks.
Congress is looking at it very strongly, bipartisan. I put in certain parameters which you somewhat know about. I'm also very, very concerned with the Second Amendment, more so than most presidents would be. People don't realize we have very strong background checks right now. You go in to buy a gun, you have to sign up. There are a lot of background checks that have been approved over the years. So I'll have to see what it is. But Congress is meeting bipartisan. A lot of people want to see something happen. But just remember this, big mental problem, and we do have a lot of background checks right now. I'll look at it very strongly, but just remember, we already have a lot of background checks, okay? Thank you.
Shortly after that video ended, Trump backpedaled right into that helicopter behind him. So we already have background checks. Why would you need more when we have so many?
Because they're not working. The reason we're talking about it is because whatever we have is
reasonable.
Not working. And also, that was the biggest waste of everyone's time out there. That was such a nothing. That was
just
like dancing around nothing.
Yeah, well, but it was something.
Was it?
What is his position on increasing background checks as of that video?
I'll have to look at it.
Really?
That's what he said at the end.
I think that that is extremely charitable to him. For me, what was like screaming through that video was, no, it's not gonna happen. We've got so many, we got background checks over there, and oh, I just spotted a background check and a background check. They're everywhere I look, I see background checks. So why would we need more background checks? And he can say Congress is looking into it. First of all, Congress, the House is looking into it. The Senate, it's Mitch McConnell. He's not gonna allow any, he's a grim reaper. You think he wants more background checks? No, the only chance that there was going to be anything was if he took executive action. And he is making very clear there whether or not he's going to.
Right.
He's not.
Well.
I think.
I guess it was clear that he is leaning towards coming out and officially saying nothing needs to be changed, sure.
No, but see, I don't think so.
He just was kind of dancing around it. Just remember, I got to look at it, but just remember, we've got a lot of background checks. We've got a big mental issue. Just remember that. I got to look into it.
Let me give you a hypothetical. So okay. Let's say, this is a little analogy for you. So okay. Let's say my wife comes to me and she's like, you know what? We don't have date nights anymore. You never take me out to any nice places. And I said, you know what? There's a great appetite for going out. And then a couple days later, I came back and said, you know what? I was thinking about it. And we went to this pizza place last month. And a while before that, we went to this other place. We go out to so many places.
But then if you end it
with, am I going to be taking her out?
But you end it with, I got to think about it a little bit more. But just remember, we have gone out a lot.
Okay, you're too charitable to Donald Trump. You're banned from the show. But importantly, the reason I think we've seen, if there was any evolution, if it wasn't just Donald Trump lying in the immediate aftermath of the terror attack, mm-hmm. and now, I mean, remember, it was brought up to him in that video. I think he's just trying to play out the clock. He's hoping that we move on.
No, I agree completely.
But why?
He doesn't want to say anything, yes or no, or this is what, he doesn't want mm-hmm. to give you anything. Mm-hmm. But also,
and he's not going to.
He wants to give you a really good reason to not care because he doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
And look, we've already got plenty of background checks. It's not working. What does it matter what we have if the problem is this big? Yeah. What does it matter?
Or if we already have background checks, then maybe we need to move on to the next phase of gun control, because background checks is like the ground effing floor.
Right.
Like, that is not a bold or extreme solution to the gun problems we have.
Yeah, it can't be in this space of, we're not going to do anything because we already have stuff in place.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So he's,
and then I don't know what that meant. Like, I'm more concerned about the Second Amendment than any other president.
You know what it means.
What does it mean?
It means that he's taking his orders from the NRA.
Like,
and that's the next phase of this.
He's more in support of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's not more in support of the Second Amendment. He's more in favor of the modern interpretation of the Second Amendment being pushed by the gun manufacturers through the NRA.
Got it.
That's what I would say. And it's not a perception of the Second Amendment that existed up until just a couple of decades ago. But that's the thing. As he started to say there was a big appetite for background checks, which is true, polls certainly show it, while at the same time lying about the appetite for an assault weapons ban, saying it's not there when the polls show that it in fact is. Immediately when he started doing that, we said on both this show and the main show, we've heard this song before. And in the past, he gets a call from the NRA and suddenly he changes his mind. But when he started pushing the possibility of background checks, I saw any number of different articles which were, man, is the NRA still powerful? Does the NRA still have any sway if Donald Trump can come out and say there might be background checks? The thing is, like, they gave him one call. So NRA, or maybe two or three. NRA Chief Executive Wayne LaPierre reportedly held several phone calls with the president days after the shootings in El Paso and Dayton, according to officials who spoke with the Washington Post. And not long after, he tweeted his support for the NRA, assuring them that their very strong views would be fully represented and respected. And that part of this story did turn out to be true. What they want, they're getting. But think about that. In the wake of a terror attack, a lobby for the manufacturers who make the weapons used in the terror attack, it's their view that the president listens to and pushes. How sick of a system do we have? But of course, we know what fuels it, and it's campaign donations. So for all these predictions that the NRA has weakened, and in some cases it's true, public perception of the NRA is down, their fundraising is down, NRA TV has gone the way of the XFL. They still have power over Donald Trump. And in our system, that's a pretty important sort of power to have.
Isn't that fascinating, though, because how often this man who is so focused on being the boss and being the winner and being everyone's favorite, how often he's willing to be pushed around.
Mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating that he would get this almost public spanking from the NRA. They didn't even keep it quiet. It was a public,
you could hear the spanking.
Spanking. Yeah, like, hey, watch your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And he then starts to watch his mouth.
Yeah.
The same thing, I assume, happened in private with Putin. Because, you know, we get a couple days before, he's kind of like alluding to, you know, oh, okay. And then he talks to Putin and it's like, listen, no, no, no. And he kind of got, you know, turned around in North Korea as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, bro, I'm not doing anything you want. I don't know what you think this is, but you can go back home.
Yeah. So, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One is he's not as savvy in negotiations as he thinks he is. But the second is that he is not an alpha male. And that's, here's the flaw in thinking he's a strong, masculine, independent person. Uh-huh. If your view is based on his masculinity, or if you think he's some sort of moderate, different Republican. If you believe either of those things, then you're going to get a lot of predictions wrong. Because in this sort of situation, where he comes out and says, I'm in favor of something like background checks, which is a super low bar, incredibly popular, not just with Democrats, but with Republicans as well, including the membership of the NRA is overwhelmingly in favor of increased background checks. But if you believe that he's either a moderate who thinks for himself, or he's a strong man who bucks any sense of authority over him, then you will think, oh, then maybe he'll do that. But if you, like me, think that he's an incredibly weak, stupid, easily manipulated person, then of course you see that he's not gonna follow through on these sorts of things. And he's not gonna buck the rest of the GOP when it comes to single payer healthcare and things like that. These ridiculous predictions that people got wrong is all coming from the fact that they think he's a person that he's not. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it means that once again, whether it's Trump or whether it's whoever, there will continue to be massacres as long as there's money to be made in selling these weapons. Because they're the ones who are calling the shots, as tragic as that is.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna take a short break. We come back a little bit more on Trump. He's not standing up strong to the gun manufacturers, but there is someone he's strong against. And that's Fox News, oddly enough, after this.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
There are dictators around the world wishing that they had media as deferential to them, as willing to push their propaganda as Donald Trump has with Fox News. And yet, even as much as they go out of their way to deflect from his scandals, to focus on what they perceive to be his strengths, to echo whatever he wants, to swap their employees with people working in the White House on like a cyclical basis, even then, if they dare, even briefly, to acknowledge reality in the form of a poll, he will turn against them. And so this is throughout this primary and throughout the general election that will come after. It's one of the aspects I've been most interested in. What is the relationship going to be between Donald Trump and Fox News? Because he is demanding 100% subservience from them. And they released a poll recently that got him fired up over the weekend, with him saying, Fox has changed and my worst polls have always been from Fox. There's something going on at Fox, I'll tell you right now, and I'm not happy with it. He doesn't sound anything like that, but I made him seem reasonable and intelligent, I think. So anyway, what's the poll? Well, the poll is, it's just a general election poll, perfectly in line with other polls, but it showed this. You can see that Joe Biden is beating Donald Trump by, well, a lot, 12 points. Bernie Sanders is beating by 9 there. You got a nice lead for Elizabeth Warren. Kamala Harris is up by 6. So what it's showing is that virtually any one of the Democrats running for president at this point, supposedly, you know, a million years out from the election, would beat Donald Trump. Take it with a grain of salt, he didn't, and he lost his mind. But this is what all of the polls are showing. For months and months now, it's shown that he will be beaten by all of them. These are, you know, this is a poll across the entirety of the country. And again, it's super early, but he lost it because of the most benign.
We've seen polls that looked like this before, so I don't even know why he's tripping. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I mean?
I have a theory. which I sort of implied. Just,
the thing is that I guess state TV is not allowed mm-hmm. to do anything, to say anything. And here's the thing, they're not always super honest. Mm-hmm. So this is
Have you noticed that they occasionally will be deceptive?
Right, so this is kind of weird for them, I guess. But I don't know, I wonder why they even cover these polls. It's fascinating because it doesn't even match the kind of how they kind of pick and choose different things mm-hmm. that even like the Bernie Sanders town hall, how they were able to flip that the next yeah. day. So I wonder why they continue to do this. One, your boss hates it. Mm-hmm. Two, and that's a joke, but like two,
is it?
It doesn't match anything else on their programming.
Well, here's the thing. I think you're right to ask why do they keep doing the polls, but in terms of them keeping covering it, that's different. I don't think that on their actual shows, they do cover it very much, if at all. Shep Smith might acknowledge it, maybe mm-hmm. Chris Wallace, but it's not like The Five is going to be doing like a self-reflective take, like what does it mean that so many of these Democrats are beating
him? But like, why are they even bringing it up?
I think that there are some people who work there who consider it to be a news gathering organization and they want to have some sort of baseline for later on.
Okay. So
everyone, CNN does polls and MSNBC mm-hmm. does polls. And again, it's not the actual news station that's calling up people. They do it in conjunction with the university.
For sure, so then they can't just hide it after.
Exactly, right. I mean, to the extent that they cannot cover it, they do. But they do the polls, and that's yeah. enough for him to get fired up. Now, he has his own polls, it turns out, and so let's give you those results. I'm kidding, he doesn't give the actual results.
I was gonna say, what are you about to pull up?
He implies it, he says, great cohesion inside the Republican Party, the best I've ever seen. Despite all the fake news, my poll numbers are great. New internal polls show them to be the strongest we've had so far. Think what they'd be if I got fair media coverage. So he forgot to link those polls in his tweet, unfortunately, so we can't evaluate them. But we can say Fox News is now fake news. He just called them that because they had a bad poll about him.
And what is fair media coverage to him? The person, like we all talk about you too much. Mm-hmm. It's all anybody talks about. Mm-hmm. You are, if it was fair, to the universe, we would talk about you less. Mm-hmm. And that would be even worse for you.
Well,
so it's like, I don't, he thinks
not
like,
worried about how much
he wants people to be more positive to him
yes.
no matter what.
So you worked,
that's what he considers to be fair.
Yes, you worked in news outlets around the country. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like it was your job, regardless of who the president was, to go out of your way to try to find a positive spin on what's going on?
No.
That's what
but
he wants, though.
But doesn't seem like often that is the job these days.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have Happy Half Hour, which tries to, it generally isn't very political, but they're trying to find good news. What he wants is, he thinks the media's job is to put a positive spin on the economy, to put a positive spin on race relations, put a positive spin on immigration.
Lie. And often, yeah. by omission, they do.
Exactly.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't do enough. And here's the thing. The reason that he's doing this is not just that he's frustrated. It's not just a passive like, oh, woe is me, as much as he likes to be the victim. He's getting out ahead of this early because what he wants to do is he wants to beat Fox News into submission. He can't force CNN to report the news the way he wants, but there's a very real chance that he can get Fox News to change what they're doing. He's not gonna get them to stop running the polls, but if you are a host on Fox News, are you gonna cover that poll now? Are you gonna do a big segment on it, knowing that the president has already preemptively attacked your network, is likely to attack you individually if you do cover it?
No,
I don't see why they would.
Also, it's hard to believe that this is just a job for mm-hmm. so many of those hosts. It is hard to believe that this is not just their personal feelings, because some of it is just so far off from reality.
Yeah.
So the main reason you wouldn't cover it is because you don't want to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So
it is not of you.
What that has produced, though, is an interesting little tool that you can use to evaluate hosts at Fox News. Because what he is angry about is that they would have the gall to cover poll results.
Right.
Just simple poll results. So if he's liking the job they're doing, that says something about their attachment to reality. And he does point out a few he likes. Now, first he says, continues to attack Fox News. He says Fox was treated very badly by the Democrats, very, very badly, having to do with the Democrats and other things. That's sort of vague language that he's famous for. And I think Fox is making a big mistake because, you know, I'm the one who calls the shots on the really big debates, which is not true. I guess we're probably planning on having three of them, and I'm not happy with Fox. So the president does not determine how many debates there are or where they're held. But
he can if he just chooses not to show up.
He can choose not to show up, but yeah. There's an actual independent group that determines that. Now, in terms of who he likes, he says, I'm certainly happy, I think, Sean Hannity and Lou Dobbs, and I think Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Jesse Waters and Jeanine Pirro.
These are some of the worst human beings ever.
Yes.
Like, Tucker Carlson's racism is horrifying.
I agree.
Jeanine Pirro, she just spews conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. And every day it is more and more horrifying that she was in charge of some form of justice for so many people. What? Laura Ingraham, the racism.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Oh my goodness. But I guess I'm not surprised because what they speak like him. Mm-hmm. And so of course he likes them. It's just putting them all together in a pile is just too glaring.
Yeah.
You know?
So I agree with you on your evaluation of every one of those people. They're absolutely horrendous, no ethics whatsoever. But the thing is, if you're like, this network, they are traitors to me. All I like are
opinion hosts.
Well, opinion hosts, but mm-hmm. a ton of them. That's like mm-hmm. that's their whole, like from 5 o'clock until midnight, that's the whole run.
Yeah.
Who else? You don't have Brett Baer in there. That's about it, really.
Oh, right. Basically, you like someone from every single hour in the day.
Exactly.
And you switched over to the Lou Dobbs is on Fox Business.
He's
right?
on a different network.
He's on a whole different network. So you really love the whole company. Like
yeah.
right. So
and
I
yet
mean, okay.
still finds a reason to complain. And the thing is, like, I know, like, Fox News is not going to suddenly start to be reflective of reality and have a serious commitment to reflecting what's really going on. But as they're already going out of their way to push the invasion language and they can't get enough of the caravans, like, they're already doing his dirty work on a daily basis. And even that is not enough. And they want viewers. And they know that Trump's base loves Fox News, but they worship Donald Trump. And given the choice between the two, they're going to go with whoever their great leader tells them to watch. And so I am worried that Fox News is going to continue to push Donald Trump's narrative to maintain that audience, especially during the election season.
Yeah, I mean, it is fascinating to me how they can't buy any loyalty. You'd think that out of anybody, that network would be able to make a couple mistakes to him.
Exactly.
But nope, you do one thing and you're out of there.
Nope.
He's about to start pushing for CNN.
Exactly. Well, let's not go that far.
Right.
Okay, we do have to take a break. We come back. Will there be a recession? Who are you going to trust, The Economist or Donald Trump? After this. Are we on the brink of another recession? There's a lot of media coverage about this over the past couple of weeks, generally focused on what effect would a recession have on the 2020 presidential election. I would personally argue the effect it has on American the working class is probably more important. But regardless of your perspective on whether there will be one, you have to look at the evidence. And there's three different bits of evidence that we're going to look at here today. One are the president's pronouncements about the strength of the economy. The second is the right-wing narrative that it's the media itself that is driving discontent with the economy, that they're actually trying to crash the economy to hurt Donald Trump's chances in 2020. And finally, what do the economists actually say about the fundamentals and what's going on? So let's work through those three and see if we can figure out if there's going to be one. First, Donald Trump, who's been tweeting things like this. Our economy is very strong despite the horrendous lack of vision by Jay Powell and the Fed. But the Democrats are trying to will the economy to be bad for purposes of the 2020 election. Very selfish. Our dollar is so strong that it is sadly hurting other parts of the world. Yes, he's very sad about that. He's very sad that it's hurting them. So there you get. He's been repeatedly tweeting. We're not going to read all of them for you, but he's been repeatedly tweeting. No, the economy is really strong. Don't trust your lying bank statements. You're doing really well. You're rich, richer than me. That's a nice car you've got there. No, really, that's what he's been saying. And I wonder, like, there's a lot of people that like Donald Trump. There's a lot of people who might not love Donald Trump, but, you know, are a fan of his economic policies. Can they be willed into believing they're doing better than they are?
Yes, because they have been willed into believing that he's doing better than he is, that everything that is of the current state of the economy had absolutely nothing to do with the administration before.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It started at zero. Everything was in the dumps.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was headed in the right direction. Absolutely nothing. He came in and saved us from death.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Well, I think the best example of that is black unemployment, which he talks about constantly.
Yeah.
You look at the chart of it going down and everything resets at a certain point. On the day that he's inaugurated, suddenly the world came into being,
mm-hmm.
Which is true for certain aspects of the economy. But if things are uneven or unsteady, then suddenly it goes back and suddenly you can talk about Barack Obama. When even when there's growth, for instance, there was a quarter that had 3.5% growth. It's perfectly fine, good growth. He said best growth in like 50 years. It's not the best growth.
Was it true? Right.
No, it's like it would be the seventh best Obama era quarter growth. There, it would be like the 15th best quarter of growth for Bill Clinton. Like there, even under George W. Bush, there were quarters that had better growth. And so his willingness to lie about the fundamentals of the economy is also a factor that we have to bear in mind.
Yeah, but the willingness of people who should be smart to just continue to listen and believe this, it's baffling.
Yeah. Now, we don't have one of those people who should be smart, but we do have someone who talks about the economy for their job. And that's where we get into the media narrative around the fundamentals of the economy. And so some of what you're going to be hearing out there over the next year is the responsibility of the media to not create a recession. And so in this general area, we have Charles Payne on Fox News. Let's watch.
I'm watching this and I'm like, it's so obvious what they're doing. They do not want him to win again, and they don't like that the economy is doing well, apparently.
The CEO of Bank of America put it the best. Brian Moynihan said, the only fear of recession we have is fear of recession. In other words, the only thing that can happen in this country right now that can derail this economic juggernaut is if everyone believes it's going to be derailed. The bottom line is there seems to be a deliberate attempt by many people to make this economy go into recession.
You mean talk it down?
Talk it down.
Okay. So,
there's a deliberate attempt to make it go into a recession. That was stupid. That was silly. That was silly.
I personally blame, Wolf Blitzer is responsible for less investment in job training.
Right, that was silly.
Anderson Cooper, you bastard. You've made all of our corporations less competitive on the international market. Mm-hmm. And Don Lemon, you know what you did with the tariffs. You know what you did. It's ridiculous, obviously. It's laughable. But I sort of get where they're coming from. They lie for a living. That's what they do. But on this, their belief that the economy is doing well, I think that that's probably genuine. I mean, they are very much in a bubble of their own making. They're all paid fabulously well to do virtually nothing.
Right.
A version of our job, but with less producing, basically. Okay. They get millions of dollars a year for. So if that was the case, and you only brought on CEOs. So Charles Payne, when was the last time he talked to a person who makes minimum wage? Or someone who's working multiple jobs just to get by? Those people don't make it onto their shows, but CEOs do. Investors do. People who own venture capital companies do. And
people
who
benefited from the Tax Act.
Exactly. And they themselves benefited fabulously from that tax bill. And so, yeah, they're going to believe that things are doing well. And if there's any reporting to the contrary, there's going to be cognitive dissonance there. And so it suddenly becomes that the New York Times wants to tank the economy. I mean, how insane is that?
And that they're going to by talking it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so look, I'm not an economist. I don't believe you're an economist, but maybe you surprised me. So let's turn to a little bit of.
Did it surprise you, though?
I thought you had a journalism degree.
Okay.
Exactly. See, I recovered a little bit there. Anyway, let's talk about some of the fundamentals. Why is it that this conversation began in the first place? So, according to the New York Times, longer-term interest rates have plunged since the end of July, a shift that historically tends to predict smaller growth, interest rate cuts from the Federal Reserve, and a heightened risk that the economy slips into outright contraction. So, interest rates, that's a thing that you watch to get an idea of what's going to happen in the future in terms of economic growth. The trade war between China and the US is a big part of the reason. The conflict has made it difficult for many global firms to plan their operations, and in some cases, it may lead them to sit on their hands rather than invest. The American strategy has been more successful at escalating trade tensions than in resolving them, so companies do not know whether tariffs will go away soon or will be a continuing cost of doing business. So this is entirely a creation of Donald Trump. He created this. There was no reason it had to be there, but a lot of companies now have no idea if they should invest in new products that theoretically might have high tariffs applied to them. All of that is hampering economic growth, not to mention the cost to the consumer, which we'll get into. And so these are the sorts of things that you would want to look at if you were trying to get an idea if a recession would happen. Now, in terms of his culpability in these, he's not responsible for all of what's going on. But when it comes to the tariffs that he created, the trade war with China, that is right on his doorstep. And that is why a lot of his messaging around the economy is going to attempt to divert blame. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit in graphics, but he tweeted this. Our economy is the best in the world by far. Get used to a lot of that. Lowest unemployment ever within almost all categories, which is not entirely true, but it's close to true. I'll give him that one. Poised for big growth after trade deals are completed is speculation. Import prices down, China eating tariffs. helping targeted farmers from big tariff money coming in. So all of that, I know you're supposed to be polite and just say that we disagree on the facts. He is lying to you. He's just lying. China's not eating those tariffs. You are eating those tariffs.
I know, it is wild that he keeps this lie going. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make logical sense, but I get that that's confusing for a lot of people.
It is.
It's very confusing, but over and over and over, it has been explained to you. Not only that, but you're about to see it. Mm-hmm. We're about to see it on iPhone purchases. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I mean? Everyone is about to see it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense. What is he talking about? But at the same time, everyone believed that somehow Mexico was going to pay for a wall. So many people, not everyone at all, but so many people actually believed that.
Yeah, and I was convinced. I'm kidding. But you're 100% right. I mean, that is a great example.
I talked myself out of how crazy it is in the middle of my sentence. Like, oh, well, I guess he's done this before.
It's the power of wanting to believe.
Yeah.
And many people will want to believe that it's true. And the thing is, you don't have to listen to me or the dictionary in terms of how tariffs work or, you know, whatever, like who actually pays for them. We're going to get to that in a second. But you can just look at what the Trump administration itself has done recently. So I believe it was last week. They decided to postpone some of the tariffs so that it wouldn't affect the holiday season like purchasing patterns. Why would it affect it? If what you say is true and it's China that pays for those tariffs, then why would it have any negative impact whatsoever on American consumers? It would only have an impact if it's the American consumer that's paying for it. So again, don't listen to me. Just watch Donald Trump. He is afraid that his tariff policies are going to have a drastic impact on holiday shoppers. It still is going to have some impact because many of those tariffs have already been put into place. But I want to give you an idea of how much. So I'm going to jump ahead again. Americans are paying an additional $832 each year per household, according to researchers, from this trade war. $832 is about twice the commonly cited an expense that would be too much for most American households to deal with. If there was some sort of emergency, he's created two of those emergencies just out of thin air because he has a problem with China. And he wanted to look strong and he wanted to look like he's protecting American industry. He created a massive economic emergency, two emergencies for every American household.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, it is going to come down to the media on what lesson people take from this. If people only hear Donald Trump and think that China is paying for all of this, then they might be convinced into thinking that the economy is doing well and he has our best interests at heart. It's not true. And so we have to be the responsible ones that keep bashing this into people's head so they understand. Anyway, we're gonna take a short break. We come back, a little bit of good news. That'll mix up the show, huh?
Okay, yeah, it's like a good, bad sitch.
It is good. Inside of what's possible at this point.
Yes, that's a good way to look at it.
Exactly, and we will look at it after this. We got an update, breaking news in the case of Eric Garner, who died almost exactly 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's been a little more than 5 years.
Exactly. And for the people who've been fighting for any sort of accountability for Officer Daniel Pantaleo since then, it's probably felt like far more than 5 years. And as of this morning, we do have an update. He will be fired from the police, which I sort of teased earlier as good news.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best that could happen in this situation, but somebody died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So had you been anticipating this outcome?
No.
You thought he'd stay?
Yeah, I don't know because, I wasn't.
So how happy do you think people should be? Like, especially considering, I think like you, a lot of people probably didn't expect that we'd get this outcome.
I don't think there's anything happy about any of this. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think there's anything to be excited about, anything to celebrate. I think that this was a public safety issue. Mm-hmm. This man did not deserve to be patrolling the streets of New York. He just didn't. He is dangerous. Somebody died by him doing something that, at least most accounts, was against the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And should have been.
It wasn't even as much about punishment as it should have been. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it was about, like, he shouldn't be currently working because this could happen again. Yeah. People are learning from him. This is scary. Like, just how all of those guys there, though. You know, I wish there was more focus on all of those officers who were out there that day because there was this. Just that interaction just escalated when it didn't have to at all.
Yeah, somebody could have stopped him, yelled at him, anything instead of defending
him. Could have maybe waited until they saw it.
Yeah.
What they were accusing him of doing again. I don't know. It just was, upsetting, and just having these people still on the force is scary, and it should be scary. And then, of course, yeah, there is the other part of this that is the best justice that you can get is at this point is this person just not having a job
after getting paid for half a decade longer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he stayed with them
not being
almost
in
as
jail,
long as I've been in this job.
Not being arrested, right, yeah.
Exactly, and won't be, of course, because you can do anything. Even though, like, when you step back and look at the situation, the idea that what was his offense? He was selling loose cigarettes.
Right.
The idea that there is any chain of events between that and being choked to death on the street is insane.
Yeah, it was just about so much of this is about ego. We saw the police officer in North Charleston years ago on videotape. He didn't know he was being recorded on somebody's phone, but shooting the guy in the back because he was running from him. So much of this is about ego.
Yeah.
What happened?
How dare you
to
defy
Oscar
me.
Grant? Exactly. The officer has him all the way down, his knees on his back, and he wants to. He says he meant to pull out his taser. He accidentally pulled out his gun. But at that point, you've got this guy down in his stomach. Your knees are in his back. What did you need to tase him
and
for?
And shot him, correct?
Right, yeah. How, so it's just, yeah.
If you, I look, I have never used
ego.
A taser.
Yeah.
And I've never used a gun in the heat of the moment. But if you can't tell the difference between the two, I don't think you should be using either.
That officer, I think, spent 2 years in jail or something like
that. Okay, well, that's surprising. Yeah. But the thing is, like, in terms of the training, and we're going to get into this in the next segment, what is the cost to you not getting this person? Mm-hmm. So if you pull them over and they get away, what's the cost?
Mm-hmm.
If they committed a traffic violation, is the cost so high that you should instead shoot them to death?
Do you know that there is a family in Texas, they live out in the woods. This is a crazy story that a lot of people don't know, but they live out in the woods, and I can't even think of like which part of the area. Mm-hmm. I hope it's Texas, I'm pretty sure it's Texas, but they, for more than a decade, were considered the head of the family, the father, a fugitive. Mm-hmm. Because in a traffic stop, he had, I think, pulled a gun on an officer and then ended up barricading himself out on this compound in the woods with all of his family. Ton of guns, they never leave the compound, and the sheriff's department would not go in because it made no sense to go and catch this guy who has put himself in self-exile when he's probably gonna kill half of you. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't worth it to get him on this old violation. And unfortunately, there was a man whose children were on that compound with his ex-wife, and he couldn't see his kids for years. But they were like, look, there's nothing we can do because it's not worth it. But you think that in certain instances, they have the ability to make these decisions. Like, somebody's running away from me. He's not violent. He doesn't have a weapon. We're going to get him. If we have to show
you're
up to his house tomorrow,
him.
We're going to get
his
him.
Car.
But we're just not going to run our vehicle into him. We're just not going to choke him to death. We are just not going to shoot him in the back.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know, and I'm not saying let people get away. That's not what I'm saying. But like, yeah, don't kill people over dumb stuff.
Say that. Day one of the training, you sit all the recruits down and you say, it's not the end of the world if they get away sometimes. If they're not holding a severed head as they're running away, it's probably gonna be okay, and you're probably gonna find him. You're probably gonna find him in like a half an hour, honestly, because it's a guy running away and you got his car. And so anyway, I know we covered a lot of territory there. This is within the context of the situation as good as could probably be expected, but only because the system is as messed up as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna take one more break. We come back, perhaps a plan to fix the situation. That is Bernie Sanders' criminal justice plan released over the weekend. We'll be breaking it down after this.
We constantly see on social media police brutality against black men and against minorities. What are we going to do to change that?
So that's from Cardi B's conversation with Senator Bernie Sanders just a few days ago. And they talked about a lot of issues, but in this section, focusing on criminal justice reform, it's something that Bernie Sanders is taking seriously. He has a new plan that he released over the weekend. And he said this in advance of the plan, we must move away from an overly punitive approach to public safety and start focusing on how to safeguard our communities, prevent the conditions that lead to arrests, and rehabilitate people who have made mistakes. And The plan is quite detailed, and so we're going to evaluate it here. Here are some of the components of the plan.
Okay.
According to the plan, if elected president, Sanders would ban cash bail and civil asset forfeiture, as well as increase the number of public defenders and funding for them to better serve certain communities, according to the plan. There's a lot more. But in this first section, it sort of seems like what a lot of the new progressive DAs are doing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That part just right there, a couple reasons. Bail is not supposed to be punitive. Mm-hmm. It's just supposed to be based on the likelihood of you coming back to court mm-hmm. when you're supposed to. It's not supposed to be, oh, we think you did this, so we're gonna charge you $1 million. It's not supposed to be that. It's supposed, you know, so yeah, Kalief Browder should not have spent 3 years on Rikers. He should have gone home because he was accused of stealing a bike.
Exactly. Again, the whole cost thing.
And he was a kid who had a mother who could have ensured that he was brought back to court. Like things like that. Like, yeah, he should have just gone home.
Yeah, but what if he hadn't come back and he'd stolen another bike?
Oh, no, right. And so, and also, yeah, public defenders, they, and people, this was a lot like of hate against Hillary Clinton. She wasn't a public defender, but like defense attorneys. People hate defense attorneys when they defend really, really bad people. But they don't just defend bad people. They defend our rights. They defend our constitution. They defend like the justice system. They defend like what, they defend us. Unfortunately, that includes a lot of really bad people because they are defending our rights.
And if you don't like that, take it up with the Constitution.
Right. But so public defenders should be paid more.
They so that we will have them and they'll be talented.
Right. And just so that they're not overworked and stressed. Like public defenders are so overworked in this country and it's unfair. It is unfair that there are, you know, that the people who have like the most serious of sentences are all dirt poor people.
Yeah.
That's
it's weird how that works out.
It's not just, you know, rich people don't ever commit crimes. No, they just have really great lawyers who aren't as overworked.
Find one example of a rich person committing a crime.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it.
You couldn't think of one.
All right, what else?
Okay, so let's get into more. He would also enact a prisoner's bill of rights for incarcerated people that includes rights to living wages and educational training, as well as the right to vote. So especially the right to vote, that's something he had been talking about earlier this year. It proved, in my view, oddly controversial that these people who are still citizens would be allowed to vote. I understand that like we've been trained since birth to think that anyone in prison is literally the worst person imaginable.
Right.
But they still exist in our system. Many of them will re-enter it. The idea that they wouldn't have any control whatsoever on the politicians who will be setting policies for the prisons they're in, or that they will eventually be released out into the world and have them as their elected representatives. I don't understand what is so controversial about
and
that.
And we just can't defend disenfranchising human beings because they did something bad. And, mm-hmm. and oftentimes something really, really bad, something horrible for one. But are you still a citizen of this country? Okay, boom, then that's your right. You have lost your freedom, absolutely. But you still get to vote. That's your right as a citizen. You don't not become a citizen because you go to prison. That's wild. It's ridiculous. And we just should not be in support of allowing the government of this country, especially because of our history when it comes to voting rights and where it currently stands. We should not be in support of any reason that our government is allowed to disenfranchise a human being. We just should not.
Yeah.
And so that's where I stand on that. A lot of people are like, oh, but what about the victims? Let alone the fact that our criminal justice system is flawed, to say the least. But that's just not about this.
And also, someone they're voting in prison.
Also,
they're
a lot
in
of
prison.
Terrible, terrible people are out of prison and not only allowed to vote still, but allowed to run for president. It's fine.
Yeah,
let's just.
Yeah, and most of what you're saying there is it's basically just taking us back to a place where the rights that the Constitution gave us are respected.
That's it.
Because regulations and laws have been set up that effectively deprive you of your rights.
Yeah.
And nobody says anything, nobody cares because it's prisoners. That's the only reason it's allowed to continue without any sort of court challenge.
Yeah.
Right. But there's more. So Sanders would work to abolish the death penalty and solitary confinement, raise the age to charge children in adult courts to 18, legalize marijuana and expunge past convictions for marijuana related offenses. So you get the idea, this is a pretty all-encompassing bill. It doesn't get into everything, but this is touching on a lot of different aspects that we routinely cover on our shows.
Yeah.
And let's see.
Did we skip the part about minimum wage, living wages for prisoners?
It was in one of the graphics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you want to say something about that?
I think that's great. I think that that'll get rid of a lot of, you know, people are worried that like slavery is still technically legal if you're in prison. And that's what making, you know, like, no, I'm not saying making 75 cents an hour is slavery. I'm not saying that at all. But companies still shouldn't be able to do that. And think about like, you have like the regular employees who are working in the prison and they're supervising a lot of these businesses, big businesses that do business with prisons. They're not reaping those benefits. They're still living in under the poverty line.
Yeah.
Like it makes no sense. You've got to pay people what they should be paid. So they can use that on lawyers. It just makes
helping
sense.
Helping out our family potentially. Yeah. A lot of it just, it doesn't make sense unless you have just been blinded by the fact that these are prisoners and they shouldn't have any rights. And if that's what you believe. And thankfully he doesn't believe that.
No, this also is great. One other thumbs component. Up.
Two thumbs up for Bernie Sanders' plan. It would also allow calls can no longer be charged.
Which is,
look into it. It's insane how much they're charged.
It is, yeah.
So great plan by Bernie Sanders. Hopefully you'll get a lot of play. Thank you as always.
Yeah, thanks
more time.
For having me. Great I know, I here. Wish we had more time.
As always, thank you everybody for watching. I'll be back tomorrow morning.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.